As we continue our series in the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I want this morning to speak upon the subject, help for the helpless. And our text is two verses, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit of for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And here we have the same phrase again. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I believe that I can say this morning without any fear of contradiction that as believers, if we can pray, then our troubles are immediately lightened. Peter said in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And how do we cast all care upon Christ, the great error of why it is by prayer? This truth is borne out in the words of that great hymn by William Cowper that we often sing. Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder, Jacob's fall. Give exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. That's what prayer does. Prayer makes the dark clouds withdraw. When Samuel was rejected by the elders of Israel, the offended prophet took his burden to the Lord. And when he did so, he prayed, and that burden was immediately taken away. When Hezekiah received that threatening letter from Rabshakeh, we are told, Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. 2 Kings 19, verses 14 and 15. And Judah's king was then informed by Isaiah that his prayer had been heard. The burdened monarch was burdened no more because his prayer had been heard. And we know that prayer changes things. Prayer is a great outlet for our grief and our sorrows. But what happens when we are so troubled, so weighed down by care, so grief-stricken that we cannot pray? Is there then no relief for us at all? If we cannot pour out our complaint to God, then must we go on laboring under our burden of care without any relief? Is there any help for us in those times when we cannot pray to relieve our burdens? Well, the apostle here tells us that there is help. There is help for the helpless. And there is help for the helpless through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We've just read those two verses. In verses 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth, our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, our groanings, which cannot be uttered. There you have the helpless saint. He wants to pray, and the best he can do is to groan, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here we have help for the helpless. The Spirit of God comes and helps the helpless child of God. And that is our subject for this morning. He draws near. The Spirit of God does. He draws near to teach us to pray. And this way he helps our infirmities. He relieves our sufferings and enables us to bear the heavy burden without sinking under the load. Praise God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So when we cannot pray because of the weight of our burdens, we see that the Holy Spirit intervenes in our devotion. Is that not what Paul is saying? That when we cannot pray, the Holy Spirit intervenes on our behalf. We often pray and look to the Lord to intervene. Wherever we live, we are praying for a divine intervention. We're asking God to come in revival power. But then, believer, there are those times when we need divine intervention ourselves, personally. We need divine intervention in our prayer lives. We need assistance to pray. Here we see then, with regard to intervention, first of all, the saints and the Holy Spirit. We can see clearly here that the Holy Spirit helps the infirmities, the saints. Verse 27, at the end of the verse, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So those who are not saints cannot expect any assistance from the Holy Spirit, for they know him not. They are strangers to grace and to God. that those who know Christ can expect the assistance of the Holy Spirit, a divine intervention when it comes to the matter of prayer. But notice with regard to these infirmities that the Apostle Paul himself, look at the words again, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He didn't say your infirmities, he said our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Paul includes himself, and he includes all believers when he says he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So Paul, saint of God, one of his great servants, this man who knew so much about prayer, perhaps prayed more than any of us here, yet the Apostle Paul associates himself with the difficulties that other believers often experience. That is, in their time of sorrow and affliction, they find it very difficult to pray. Paul says, I know what that means. I have been there. I have experienced that difficulty. And he who suffered so much for the cause of Christ and carried so many burdens went through those times when he was so weighed down with burden cares that he could pray. He could hop. Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians? We can understand Paul including himself with the other saints when we read about what Paul suffered. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says in verse 23, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In stripes and labors more abundant, stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft, of the Jews 5 times received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Then he says in verse 28, beside those things that he has already mentioned, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So along with what Paul suffered from time to time, he had this burden upon him daily. Was it the care of all the churches. And we want to take that word care. It is the same word that Peter employs when he said, casting all your care upon him. The word care means distraction. Beside all this, the distractions of all the churches. And we can now understand Paul when he includes himself with the other saints with regard to difficulties in praying. When we consider what Paul went through, when we consider what he suffered, and when we considered that he had the distraction of all the churches, there must have been those times when Paul got down on his knees and sought the face of God, but he could hardly pray. The best he could do was to groan before the face of God. But it was them that the Spirit of the Lord came. For Paul here tells us, and he's obviously speaking from experience, because he maketh intercession for the saints. He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so, believer, when you are so bowed down with care that you can hardly pray, the Spirit of God will come to your assistance with groanings which cannot be uttered. He will make intercession for us. So we see then the sense of the Holy Spirit. We see then the sense of the Holy Spirit. It is no coincidence, of course, that when the Holy Spirit appeared at the Savior's baptism in Jordan, that he appeared in the form of a dove. Then the Lord told his disciples, later on, that they were to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the word harmless means simple or sincere. So we get the sense, we get the picture of this dove that is a sensitive creature. It's a harmless creature. It's a sincere creature. The description of the Holy Spirit. For the dove is a type of the Holy Spirit, as we've said, exhibited at the Savior's baptism. We can see the sensitivity then of this holy dove from heaven. And he is sensitive to the needs of his people. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit of God senses. He knows. When you and I, believer, are in difficulty in our prayer time, he senses that. He knows that because he's the sensitive Holy Spirit. We know that when we consider. When you look at those two verses, 26 and 27 of Romans 8, we have the Spirit of God helping us in our infirmity, making intercession for us. Yet, there is no mention here of the Spirit of God being called upon to come and help us. In other words, when we are in difficulty in prayer, we don't really need to ask the Spirit of God to help us. He senses our need, He knows what our needs are, and He comes immediately to our aid. That's the sensitivity of the Spirit of God. He senses to our needs and responds by coming to our aid. Remember we said a few weeks ago when we considered one of the titles of the Holy Spirit, namely the Comforter? Remember what we said, what that word Comforter means? The word Comforter means to be called alongside. And there are those times when we call the Holy Spirit alongside us. And He comes alongside us in our times of trouble, in our times of sorrow. He is the Comforter. He doesn't just bring us comfort, He is comfort. He comes alongside us. And He comes alongside us in prayer. When we are in difficulty in prayer, He comes alongside us. And it is our troubles and our difficulties that calls the Spirit. The Spirit responds to our difficulties. And He comes alongside us and He helps us. Us and our infirmity. Blessed Spirit. Praise the Lord for the third person of the Trinity. He's sensitive to our needs. And that leads us now to consider the support of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle here deals with the support that we receive from the Holy Spirit when we are weak and cannot pray. The word infirmities there means weaknesses. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth us in our weaknesses. When we are weak, the Spirit helpeth us. He helps us. He is our helper in prayer. This expression is very significant because the Apostle intends to convey the thought that the Holy Spirit carries or bears with us in our infirmity. In other words, when we are weak, so weak, that we can hardly pray, the Spirit of God supports us or He carries us through those times of weakness, those times of our infirmity. I was telling the children on Wednesday that David Brainard, missionary to the Indians. David Brainard never enjoyed good health. He was never strong in body. But yet he went to the mission field. And God called him there. He died like McShane in the 30th year. But one time he was endeavoring to visit a certain tribe. But he was so very weak that he decided to leave in the middle of the night because he knew that where he was camped, he knew that his friends would dissuade him from going because of his weakness. So he left in the middle of the night. He struggled on to the back of a horse. And he made his way to where this Indian tribe was to be found. Brainard arrived there this morning. And when he got to the edge of the camp, he was so weak in body that he just simply fell off the horse. But he knew that before he would go any further, if he was going to evangelize the Indian, he needed to pray. But yet he was so weak in body. But he lay on the ground. And he started to pray. And unknown to him, some Indian braves had spotted him lying on the ground. And one of the Indians drew his bow and was about to fire his arrow at McShane, or at Brainard, when he saw just beside Brainard a poisonous snake coming towards him. This poisonous snake rose up two or three times, and the Indian decided, well, I'll let the snake do my work for me. I let the serpent kill this man. But then the Indian could hear Brainard praying. He was receiving assistance of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was enabling Brainard to pray. And he prayed and he prayed, and suddenly the serpent turned and went away. And the Indian said, there's something different about this man. And the men who were about to kill him went over and lifted him up and carried him into their camp and cared for him and nurtured him back to health. Brainard led many of those Indians to Christ. If the Spirit of God had not have helped, how could he have prayed? Brainard could say, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. He helped Brainard to pray that day. And so, believer, the Spirit of God comes to our aid. And as he carried Brainard through that day, he carried him through his difficult time in prayer. So the Spirit of God carries us through. And we can hardly pray. Yes. We don't even feel praying. The Holy Ghost carries us. Praise the Lord. Psalmist David experienced this help that the Spirit of God gives. For at a time when he found it difficult to pray, Psalm 51 verse 12, David says there, uphold me with thy free spirit. Uphold me. Interestingly enough, that word uphold means support. Support me with thy free spirit. David knew he needed support. And the only one who could support him in his difficult times in prayer was the Holy Spirit. The Lord, remember, said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comfort. I'll send you another of the same. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit and his intervention in our devotion. Then we have the Holy Spirit and his instruction in our devotion. Paul here says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. We need to be instructed. We need to be taught what to pray for. And this is especially true in times of sorrow and difficulty and bearing heavy burdens. We've heard the very expression in this very house on the Wednesday night in our midweek prayer meeting. We have heard brothers and sisters pray betimes and say to the Lord, "Lord, I hardly know how to pray. I hardly know what to ask for." And we've been with our ministerial colleagues. Brother Irwin and I usually share a room together. And we have times of prayer and we discuss matters, burdens that we have. And we've got down before the Lord. And in those times we have said, "Lord, we hardly know how to pray about these matters." Paul says here, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." So what do we need? We need the Spirit's instruction. The Holy Spirit is the one to teach us to pray because of who He is. Zechariah 12, verse 10, we read these words, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication." What He's called, the third person of the Trinity, amongst other names, is called the Spirit of grace and supplication. The Spirit of grace and supplication. That's who He is. He's the Spirit of grace and supplication. He's given that name for a very good reason. For it is through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of supplication, that every child of God learns to pray. The Spirit in regenerating us imparted life to us. And the Spirit goes on working in our hearts and in our souls, teaching us to pray. Look at verse 15 of Romans 8. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We receive the spirit of adoption. In other words, we are brought into the family of God. When we're saved, we're brought into the family of God. God is our heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus is our Savior and elder brother. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter in the earnest of our salvation. And we are now the sons of God. And being sons of God, being the children of God, the Spirit of God teaches us how to pray. That we might cry, "Abba, Father." And that is a sure sign that a soul has indeed received new life in Christ. For that soul begins to pray. It's the Spirit of God working in that soul, teaching and instructing him how to pray. Some time ago, after a meeting that I preached at, I was standing at the door, shaking hands with the folk going out, and a brother came to me and said he didn't agree with something I had said during the course of the message. I had made reference to Saul of Tarsus getting saved on the road to Damascus. He said to me, he says, I don't agree with you. He says, I don't believe Saul got saved on the road to Damascus. Well, I had to contradict him and tell him, well, I do believe he got saved on the road to Damascus. And I'll prove it. You turn, please, to Acts chapter 9. And there in Acts 9, where we have the conversion of Saul, Acts 9, you go down to verse 17, you know how the Lord called Ananias and told him to go and speak to Saul. He would find him in the house of Judas in the street called Straight. Verse 13, first of all, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints of Jerusalem. In other words, Ananias was reluctant to go because he had heard so much about Saul. Verse 14, and here, that is in Jerusalem, he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all and call on thy, all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Ananias is all right. He's a changed man. That's what the Lord was telling Ananias. It's all right. You can go. He's not going to arrest you. He's not going to put you in prison. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And verse 17. This dear brother would need to read the words. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. In other words, Ananias recognized Saul as his brother in the Lord. Saul was already saved. He was saved on the road to Damascus. He was saved before Ananias got to him and spoke with him. And this brother told me he believed that Saul got saved after he met with Ananias. Not according to his, that Ananias addressed Paul as brother. But there's another proof. There are many proofs to prove that Saul was saved on the road to Damascus. The other one is there in verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. See, new life has begun. Here's the breathing of the soul that has been regenerated and given you life in Christ. Prayer. Prayer is the breathing of the regenerated soul. If there's no prayer, there's no life. We mentioned that this morning in our Bible class. When a child is born, the doctor makes sure that that child cries. It's an indication the child's alive. And when we cry to the Lord in prayer, that's an indication. We're alive in Christ. Saul was alive because the Spirit of God was already working in him, teaching him to pray. So we're told here not only through the Spirit we pray, but through the Spirit we are led in prayer. The Lord Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit is come, he shall teach you all things. And there is no area of the Christian life that we need the teaching of the Spirit of God more than in the place of prayer. We need the Spirit of God's teaching in prayer. We need by the Spirit of God to learn to pray, to learn how to pray, and to learn what to pray for. That's what Paul's saying. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. As we ought. In other words, Paul's saying here, we ought to know what we should pray for, but we don't. We don't know. So it's important to know the mind of the Spirit in prayer. We ought to know, but we don't. And this is made very plain by the Apostle James. In his letter, James 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. In other words, James is saying here, sometimes we ask in prayer simply to satisfy the longing of the flesh. When I and a couple of other brethren were studying for the ministry, we had to go to night school to get the necessary qualifications. And we used to take turns in taking our cars. We didn't have the best cars on the road. And one of the brethren, he used to pray that the Lord would get him a good car. And as we would make our way through one of the towns, we passed the dealership, and there was a lovely car sitting out there in the showroom. And our brother would say, I would love that car, and I'm praying the Lord will give me that car. Well, he never got that car, because he was really asking this. He was asking amiss. He was asking really just to satisfy the longing of his flesh. He would like that car. We need the leading of the Spirit when it comes to what we should pray for. Because of our sinful nature, we ask amiss. Because of our sorrowful nature, we sometimes ask amiss, because we hardly know what to pray for. We need the Holy Ghost to help us. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. That is when the Spirit of God does come and helps and leads us. For he will teach us all things. How important this ministry of the Holy Spirit is to the Christian. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 8, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. So the Father knows what we have need of. So we need to pray, Lord, show me what I should pray for. Help me to pray in accordance with thy will. Because that's how the Spirit of God will lead us. He will never lead us to pray for something that is contrary to the will of God. Look again at verse 27 in the second part of the verse. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession according to the will of God. He instructs us in prayer. And the instruction we receive from the Spirit of God will always be in accordance with the will of God. We'll never ask amiss when we pray in accordance with the Spirit of God. And then we have also liberty in prayer through the Spirit of God. These verses are about troubled saints that find it difficult to pray. They're so bowed down with burdens and care that they can scarcely pray at all. We've all been there, I'm sure. when you can hardly pray at all. Oh, you see the mercy seat, and you know that help is there. But we cannot cry for help. We know that the ear of our Heavenly Father is ever open unto the cry of the righteous, and yet we cannot fill His ear with our petitions. We see the blood and know that it speaks on our behalf. But to speak ourselves in prayer, we know not how. There's no freedom in prayer. There's no flow. There's no liberty in prayer. And if the Spirit of God comes not to our aid, our heart will break. We need to find some relief. Some relief. But if we can't pray, bless the Lord, He doesn't leave us. Come to our aid. Likewise, the Spirit also our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. He gives us liberty. Liberty in prayer. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and where is the believer? He's in her heart. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit will give us liberty. We need not fear opening our mouth in prayer, for the Lord will fill it. He'll give us liberty in prayer. How comforting that is. Our time is gone, and finally we have the Holy Spirit's intercession in our devotion. We have, of course, our blessed Savior who's seated at the Father's right hand, where He ever liveth to make intercession for us. We have the Son interceding for us in heaven. We have the Spirit interceding for us on earth. Because of our infirmities, because of our weaknesses, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit of God comes to our aid, and He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here we have the Spirit's assistance. Robert Haldane, a great Bible commentator, Robert Haldane said this with regard to these verses, quote, "The people of God are often so much oppressed and experience such anguish of mind that their agitated spirits, borne down by affliction, can neither perfectly conceive nor properly express their complaints and requests." Haldane experienced the same thing as Paul and all the saints and you and I. The groanings here in the text is groanings or sighing. The word is to sigh. It's a sighing of the child of God. And do nothing else but sigh before God. Stephen used the same word, death, with regard to the history of Israel. In Acts 7 and verse 34, quoting the words of the Lord, Stephen says, I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings or sighing, and am come down to deliver them. God responded to the groanings and the sighings of Israel in Egypt. He came down to deliver them. Believer, you and I pray, and we can hardly get the words. We can only groan or sigh in prayer. The Holy Ghost will assist us, and our Heavenly Father will respond. and come down, as it were, and deliver us. David said in Psalm 77, verse 4, I am sore troubled that I cannot speak. It's then the Spirit of God comes to our assistance. You can rely on it. You can depend on it. And you have the Spirit's assurance. Not only His assistance, His assurance. The Holy Spirit making intercession for us, or for the saints, according to the will of God. That then gives us assurance that what we ask for, we receive. 1 John verses 14 and 15. Read there that if we ask anything according to the Lord's will. 1 John 5 verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. The Spirit of God leads us to pray in accordance with the will of God. And when we pray in accordance with the will of God, then those things we ask for, we will receive. See the importance of the Spirit of God working with us and in us and through us. When we pray, it is through Him we learn to pray. It is through Him we are led to pray. And He will always lead us to pray in accordance with the will of God. Let's bow our heads now in prayer. Our dear loving and gracious Father, we bless Thee for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee, Lord, for that ministry. It was made known to us the hour we were saved. For we never would have come to Christ of our own accord. It had to be the working of the Spirit of God in our lives. So, Lord, we pray the Spirit of God will work even today, the salvation of souls. We pray, our God, that we will know much of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the place of prayer. But, O Lord, those times when we're so heavy laden, so bowed down with care, and can hardly pray, we know that we will experience the assistance of the Holy Spirit, for He is the help of the helpless. Write the Word of God upon our hearts, that we meditate upon it throughout this day. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other and go to our separate ways. In Thy will, return us to the house of God tonight to learn more, Lord, of Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.